So I've just turned this on. Today is June 30th, 2014. This is the Shrine of the Ages at Grand Canyon National Park. And my name is Tom Martin as interviewer, and we have here today...
Rose Evans.
Steve Evans.
Diana Evans.
And Dave Evans.
And Dave and Steve are the children of...
Almeda Inez Evans.
And
maiden name was Bab.
B-A-B?
B-A-B-B.
B-A-B-B. And how was it that she was on the United flight? Is that, she's United or TWA?
TWA.
Thank you.
My dad was flying for TWA, which managed Ethiopian Airlines. So we were living at that time in Ethiopia. He had stomach problems and had an ulcer, so he had come back to the United States for surgery, and we came back, my mom and the two of us came back with him, and we're staying at her mother's house in Poto, Oklahoma. Their mother and father were both living. And Dad had flown out by himself to Los Angeles for the surgery, and Mom had flown out to check on him and missed us, so she was flying back to be again with us. She had been there with my dad and made sure he was okay and was returning back. And we have a letter that she wrote on the day before she left to come back.
The Monday before she left.
Mm-hmm. Talking about how Dad was doing and wanting to be back and get back to Poto.
See her boys.
Was she Ethiopian?
No, she's from Poto.
Okay.
Right. Worse, she was Oklahoman.
How old were you at the time?
I was 7.
So Dave was 7. And Steve?
6 months.
Okay.
It's affected our family in odd ways. I don't think I've ever heard my dad speak of it, and we never visited the Grand Canyon. I never saw the Grand Canyon until I was an adult and went on my own. Actually knew very, very little about the circumstances until I was an adult and started doing some research and then talking to some of my aunts and uncles. Apparently, she would have missed the flight if it had left on time. I think it was scheduled to depart at 8:30. But she was late, but the flight was delayed, and so she made the flight. It was very difficult for my dad. And apparently, he had to go back to, he left Dave and I in Poto with our grandparents. He had to go back to Ethiopia to complete his contract there. And I've heard stories that he was reckless in his driving to a degree that worried all of his relatives. And just didn't care very much about his own personal safety at that point, which is just an antithesis to who he is in general.
He's still living, by the way.
Okay.
He's not in good health and not able to travel, so he wasn't able to be here.
But he is 92, it'll be 93
September.
Have you interviewed him?
I've interviewed him about his life, but not about these events.
I have actually
spoken
to him quite a bit. It surprised me that you said you hadn't spoken with him about it, because he did talk to me about just some of the casual facts, like, you know, the aftermath of dealing with the attorney and with the jewelry that Almeda was wearing that helped to identify her body. As a matter of fact, I have one of those rings. And he doesn't seem terribly unable to talk about it.
What do you remember about, what did he say?
Well, he just said that it was a mess, that there was a lot of kind of chaos to deal with in identifying the bodies and locating who was who, and he felt like he was lucky that he was actually able to identify her remains, and she was flown back to Poto to be buried. He felt like that the attorney that they had at the time was not looking out for his best interest, and that he didn't really, that the attorney dropped the ball in a lot of ways, that the boys didn't get really what they needed out of life, that they should have gotten a lot more in a settlement. He reminisced about her, you know, Babsy. I mean, that's pretty much what he called her. And he talked about, you know, pretty much the same thing, that she would have missed the flight, you know, and just kind of rehearsing kind of the same details of that day, you know, and the kind of the remorse of that, you know, that he couldn't be there watching over everyone, you know, because that's kind of who he is. He really is very much the patriarch in that way. And I think he felt bad that he was sick and couldn't be there, you know.
But we were with the with Mom's parents, and I don't remember the when I was actually told. The thing I do remember is Mom and Grandma and Grandpa were Southern Baptist, and as soon as the word went out in the community, the thing I remember is just more food than any person could eat showing up at the house with lots and lots of people. I had no clue who they were, but expressing, you know, their sadness and condolences. I don't remember how long we stayed. Well, I stayed there. It was kind of a heavy load on our grandparents. So, and I was an active little fellow. So I was sent to Tucson, which was where he grew up, Arizona, and stayed with his mother. My grandfather on his side had already passed away, and my aunt.
In the letters, it actually says, I have letters that she wrote to her parents for several years, and in the letters, the last letter is there that she sent, and then the next letter that I have is a letter from their dad to Grandma and Grandpa, expressing, you know, his desire to come home, and he thought he'd be home by Christmas. So I'm thinking that maybe you were there till Christmas, and then maybe the move got made that you went to Tucson, and Stephen stayed in Poto. And they, I don't believe, saw each other again until Dad remarried.
You were too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to have been in Poto for at least a year, because I did 1 year of school there. So it was apparently a period of time before.
It could have been, you know, a school break comes in December too, but if you said you did a whole year of school, you did all first grade again.
Yeah, I'd gone to school in Ethiopia, and it was a crummy school, so my dad made me take the first grade over.
You got even later.
Huh?
You got even later.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then my dad finished his contract in Ethiopia, came back
in December,
got a new job flying down in Latin. Latin America and married my stepmom all in a short period of time. And then when they got back from Latin America, then they brought the whole family back together and we lived in Tucson.
Did that work? Did that go well?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
They're still together?
They're still
together. They're still together.
Good.
She adopted him.
Yeah. So I went from losing a mother at an age too young to remember to having a very loving grandparent taking care of me to having a very good stepmother who later, as I was graduating high school, for a reason I can't really remember, decided to legally adopt me. So she's not, I can't even refer to her as my stepmother, just not my biological mother.
That's so cool.
That's interesting.
Something she did say to me, though, about when he was little, is that when she first married his dad, that Steve had a hard transition at two, because at that point his grandma, Bab, was his only mommy, you know, and that he knew his dad, but he was reluctant to call her. And she said when he would wake up, which he did a lot at night, crying, that he'd call for daddy, and she just waited. And she said the first time that he called for mommy, she said she just charged out of bed, you know, like, he's finally accepted me, you know. So I think he had a rough start, you know, to have lost his mother at 6 months and then lost his substitute mother at two, and to have that much change at an early age. But she's been his mommy ever since, and she's been really very loving and very good. Enough so that we can criticize her for it.
Yeah. The only stories I heard about David was what a rascal he was, and the things that he put her through. The time he climbed down the chimney.
Well, that was, yes.
The furnace.
We don't need to go
the
into
furnace.
That.
and the time that he watered his bedroom with the garden hose. But, you know, when I heard the stories today that others were telling, they're so sad, and I just don't think that it was like that.
I remember my mom, when we were over in Africa, I mean, she was a very, very loving mother, but she was also, I mean, she came from a very religious family, and we went to church all the time. We got Bible stories read to us, or read to me, and then when I went to my parents, my dad is Latter-day Saint, and so I got another side of a very religious family with strong beliefs in the hereafter. So, I mean, at 7 years old, I wasn't, you know, not very old at all. But even with Dad, I think the whole premise was moving on. Yes, you've lost a tremendous loss, but life goes on, and you can't define yourself by one negative event. And it seems some of the stories today were like they had defined themselves with this event, and that's kind of, it was sad to me a little bit. But
yeah, no, it was very sad for them.
I mean, things that their families didn't handle things very well, to not tell them, to not, you know, address the issue, no matter how young they were. I think that that was very sad, and they can't mourn until they have that opportunity.
I think one of the things that didn't really come out today that I expected to in my reading, this was the last flight before the big Memorial Day weekend that year. And both flights were going to the headquarters town of the airline, the United flight was going to Chicago and the TWA flight was going to Kansas City. And from what I've read, they were pretty well packed with respective employees going home to see family for the holidays. And so it hit actual TWA and United families a lot harder than maybe other groups. But we heard today a lot of people from Lockheed were hurt. And you know, it's ironic with my dad being a pilot. I'm sure it hit him really hard because of that. But also, even though Dave and I both expressed a lot of interest in aviation, it was pretty much a steadfast saying in our family that one pilot in the family is enough. And neither of us were encouraged. I wouldn't say we were actively discouraged, but we weren't encouraged at all to become pilots.
You both take that same breath, I know that, because he has that same feeling.
They both did a lot of flying in their lifetimes, living overseas, traveling all over the world.
Yeah, we lived in Tucson till I was 16, so from about 8 to 16, so eight years. Then my dad was a pilot for Sunt Construction. He was their chief pilot. And then the owner died. And so he went back to TWA, which was managing Saudi Arabian Airlines at the time. And we moved overseas to Saudi Arabia to Jeddah. Steve started out in school down in Jeddah. We got over there left the U.S. on Christmas Day. He had gone ahead of us. And I got put in a boys' boarding school, kind of always held that against Dad a little bit.
Is it the same Good Shepherd?
No, I was in Beirut.
Oh,
and they didn't pick the good school where all the Americans went.
Which is a good thing. I mean, in hindsight, because I had no other...
Distractions
is a good word. I jumped a year and got back that first year that I had done over, so...
Stephen ended up in a boarding school.
In Ethiopia.
Back in Ethiopia.
It was co-ed?
Yeah.
And I can't seem to get rid of that part of the world, because I'm leaving on Tuesday to Djibouti, which I usually fly through Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to get to it.
Which is where Stephen was born.
Yeah.
So,
I think we've all had a good life.
It's interesting that my dad had 8 brothers. Mm-hmm. All of whom, I believe, served in World War II, and about half of them served in Korea. My mom's 3 brothers all served in the military in World War II in Korea. All came home, and she's the one that dies in an airplane crash.
Yeah.
Out of all those siblings.
But because of all that encounter, too, that's how your mom... your Donna and your dad met and got married through Uncle Norman.
Her brother
was in the military with your dad.
No. Well, my understanding is that is that Donna was Almeida's best friend when they were stationed in Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. I don't know the history, so.
No. When I had talked to Donna, that was the story I was always told, but when I asked her about it, they were acquaintances, and actually Kay had babysat Stephen when he was little. But they met
David.
I'm sorry.
Stephen.
Yeah.
This guy.
Who are you?
Your husband, not mine.
The other Stephen.
The other Stephen. With the PA.
One was yes.
Your dad and Norman were really good friends in the military.
See, I had never, ever heard that. I knew that Uncle Norman flew the Berlin airlift, but Dad was on completely the other side of the world.
And then this, I have to say, came from your sister, Kay.
Well?
Their stepsister.
Donna's
actually, she's
daughter.
My full sister since we're both
adopted.
I need to call my sister Kay.
Yeah, you do.
So. Yeah, I think that's... Yeah.
It's interesting that boarding school, of course, happened to a number of individuals. I'm learning today after this. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, ours wasn't... Ours was because there was no school in Saudi Arabia.
That went past the eighth grade.
Went past the eighth grade. So okay. I was a sophomore in high school.
Excuse us for a minute. Do you want to interview Tom over there? Or should we?
I'd be happy to. I didn't. He expressed an interest in.
You said I could sit through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, but I just timeline. If you're
just
on a timeline.
Stick your fingers in your ear like this.
Is this going to be confidential national security information?
So here's what we're going to do.
Cover that, but then we'd shoot you afterwards.
So my father was working on that. That's what that was what the joke is about. That we think he was working on national security matters. So I have to do the same if you should hear what I'm going to talk about.
I have the clearance. I'm sorry.
Who has joined us is?
I'm Tom Sulpizio, son of Thomas J. Sulpizio on the United 718 flight.
Thank you.
And just for the record, could you spell your last name?
It's spelled S as in Sam, U L, P as in Paul, I, Z as in zebra, I O. And my full name is Thomas E. Sulpizio. My dad's name was Thomas J. Sulpizio, so I'm not junior. I'm not a junior.
Thank you. Okay. You're going to sign your life away here. This is the deed of gift.
Sure.
And so if you can print your name and sign your name here.
Do you need an address as well?
That'd be great.
Okay, great.
You have the pictures?
So, Kim, you're going to sit over here.
I'm a volunteer. She's a professional.
Well,
she's
the
one
who
answered
the
question.
I have no idea what you've asked. Please continue,
I'm right here,
Tom.
I'm right
please.
Here. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Please. I don't know where you are in the middle of it. I'm sorry.
So where we are is we go to recap.
Oh, and I guess, this is goes back, but my mom and dad met. My dad was in Japan during the occupation, and she was a civil servant in Japan. And she went through Guam, and he met her there and somehow finagled her to get on his airplane to fly back. And then they were both in trouble when that was over.
What year was that?
Yeah, right. It was obviously before 49.
Because that's when you were born, yes?
I was born, yeah.
Probably 45?
I think it was like 45.
I had always thought she worked for the State Department.
Well, it was...
But it turns out she worked for the Department of Treasury and was sent over there for the War Reclamation Board.
I think it started out as one thing and turned into the other thing. I don't know.
She was originally posted to Manila and then was transferred to Tokyo.
So we have, I guess we'll leave these with you guys, but we have a picture of her surviving brothers and sisters and mom and dad. We have a picture of her in Ethiopia with my brother Stephen.
And that would have been, yeah.
We have a picture of her by herself and her with my dad and me. Her in Ethiopia, that's at the Addis Ababa Ethiopian Airport with both of us. And then a picture of her and the two of us at the age we were.
We're pretty close to it.
When we lost her. And then some Oklahoma newspaper accounts of the crash. And then her last letter that she wrote the day... Well, on the 25th of June, just before.
No, she probably didn't get to her parents until maybe after. Mm-hmm.
I had the same experience, by the way. Some letters got to my mother after the crash because they were posted from Los Angeles and arrived in Philadelphia a week later. four, 5 days later.
This was posted.
That would have been from
LA as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are those for the collections?
Yes.
Yes.
Or do
yes.
you want me to make copies?
No.
No, we made these specially to leave here with you guys. So.
I also have one of the rings that helped identify the bodies, the wedding rings that she wore. So.
It's nice to have
it
a connection
is nice.
Because
it is
neither
nice.
Of us ever met her.
And it's a great connection.
It's interesting. I had an art class this year, and I took a black and white photo of her to my art class to paint a portrait of her. And it was so interesting having this conversation with my classmates about this drawing of my mother-in-law, whom I had never met, and then getting to see all these different renditions of her. Unfortunately, Stephen was not really happy with all of them. But I feel like it's just the only way to be connected in some
yeah.
ways are the photographs. I mean, it's just there's no other.
Mm-hmm. And we also have copies of all the letters that she wrote for 2 years, I believe. And she talks about before Stephen was born. She talks about when David fell off the wall. A tall wall, and he hit his head, and he ended up losing his hearing.
Did she play? Did she play a musical instrument at all?
I don't know. I've never seen a picture of her with a musical instrument.
And did she have a connection to the Selassie family at all?
My dad did. He flew Haile Selassie a number of places. In fact, when he wanted to go somewhere, he usually asked for my dad to fly him.
There was always a piano in the house in Poto.
Yeah, but I don't remember ever hearing her play.
Was she British? Did she have British history at all?
No, it was there's some Indian and Oklahomian.
Okay. A lot of Oklahoma. A lot of Oklahoma.
Well, they were...
Those Babs.
The Babs were in, genealogy-wise, they were in around Little Rock, Arkansas, and...
So it's been fun reading through the letters because this starts actually in 1951 is one of her letters, and then it goes 1954, and it's like almost weekly, 1955, and then all the way up to that last letter. Mm-hmm. And then letters from Dad to Grandma and Grandpa to update on when he was going to be home from Addis Ababa. And how much he missed his voice.
Now, it's interesting that my dad absolutely hates to write letters.
But he writes a nice letter.
So I go by it naturally.
Yeah, we do.
She had beautiful handwriting.
She was a beautiful lady.
Yeah, she really was. Would have liked to have known her.
Yeah. We're lucky to have some girls that look kind of like her, though.
We do have some girls that look a lot like her. Some granddaughters.
Even
our daughter. Well, it would have been her granddaughter.
Yeah.
And so some great-granddaughter.
Do you have copies of these letters that might be going to the museum collection?
I have that copy.
Of the last
of
letter.
The last
just
letter.
The last one.
Okay.
I didn't think, that you'd be interested in any of this, but I don't know what all you're interested in. So.
You've done a great job organizing it. It's inspirational to me to do something similar, especially after being here today.
It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, you can follow the mm-hmm. history of their family and what was going on.
Is that something the museum collection would be interested in or not? I don't know this.
I think this is probably... Okay. Those are... Wonderful memories that you guys will enjoy.
I mostly brought this for Stephen to see and Rose. It's just fun. Fun thing.
How long did your father work for Haile Selassie? This is stunning to me.
Well, he didn't. He worked for Ethiopian Airlines,
okay.
Which was after World War II, through our State Department. Developing countries could arrange to have an American airline help manage and set up and develop their national airlines. So Ethiopian Airlines, there are a bunch of them, But TWA was really key in many of these. So Dad flew, he was a TWA employee, but he flew for Ethiopian Airlines and then later Saudi Arabian Airlines.
Okay.
And he, that's too bad he's not here. He could tell you some very interesting stories about some flights he made into grass airstrips in a DC-3.
He has some great stories.
Yes, he does have some great stories.
To rescue people that needed medical treatment, but it was...
Chicken pox, for when they told him it was smallpox, and he went, whoa! It turned out to be chicken pox.
Maneuvers that would make everybody sick. And
he took Reverend Strong into the back country of Ethiopia, and even though it had been raining, and it was a clay strip, so it was really slick when it was wet, and they were told that if you could see puddles on the ground, they weren't to land. But Reverend Strong really wanted to get to his flock, so he decided to land anyway. And slipping in this clay, he actually turned the plane around and then revved the engines to slow it down going backwards. But years later, when I went back to boarding school, I went to school with Kathy Strong, Reverend Strong's daughter, and she still remembers that landing. And says, I remember Captain Evans.
Well, you know, growing up, I had heard that story. And then when he was flying for TWA, or not when he was flying for Sun Construction out of Tucson, every now and then he would take one of us on a flight with him. And he was flying over to Yuma. They were building a dam in Yuma. And he had some of the senior people with the construction company. So we took off, and they radioed ahead to bulldoze us a runway so he could land at the dam site. And they didn't do a really good job. So he lost some of his runway due to obstacles in the runway. And so when he got it on the ground, he was still traveling too fast, and at the end were these big earth movers. So near the end, he whipped one engine into high and pivoted it on one wheel, and then used the engines to stop us really quickly. So I've lived through that maneuver.
You and the rest of the M&M Sun crew.
Yeah, they were pretty impressed.
Oh, Uncle Kenneth told me he did that in Poto when it was still a grass strip and it was wet from rain, which he couldn't tell until he got on the ground. And Uncle Kenneth thought it was just the normal way of stopping.
It sounds like it was a kind of a Leland Evans maneuver.
Apparently.
So in your situation, it's very different. And this is the third interview we've done today. Your father remarried someone that you were able to bond with. And that seems very fortunate, most unfortunate, to journey forward with. I mean, as somebody who said, I need to adapt you. I mean, that's, yeah.
And I know that she made a photo album for each of them.
Mm-hmm.
That they would have the pictures, some pictures of their mother. I don't think she knew of any disparaging things, and if she did, she never said anything. It was always very kind words. And
so we are lucky. We are.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I've never heard her speak anything but good things, and always been supportive, you know, of that relationship and honoring it.
We also have her wedding dress that's in the big picture, and a few other mementos that are kind of fun. Tried to talk my girls into wearing that wedding dress, but it just wasn't the right style.
I still have a daughter who's not married.
And retro is in.
That's true.
There you go.
It's true.
It's not too late. That's wonderful. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add about your thoughts on this journey?
I don't know, I think it's been great.
On this journey?
Well,
we got the word for this event late.
Late.
I mean, the letter had gone to my parents, and they weren't able to come. But I think they sat on it for a couple of weeks. Cause, so they fired it on to us, and they sent you a copy. Mm-hmm. And I still travel more than I want to, so I wasn't sure how my travel schedule was going to work out. But when we saw we could make it, we then tried to find one of our grandkids to bring with us. Well, we tried to find more, but we couldn't.
Well, we ended up with quite a few.
My decision was made last night at 7 o'clock because I had to work a work shift overnight. So he picked me up early this morning as they got off.
So they cruised
and we
in.
Drove here from Albuquerque. Yeah.
A little late this morning.
Yeah, we missed the very first ceremony at 10.
And then we let my daughter know, who lives in Amarillo, Texas, and they
decided 2 days ago to come.
So we had a little mini reunion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, but it's nice. It is nice.
And I think that our families are really into family history, and we enjoy hearing these stories.
My children,
stories.
I know, will be sad that they weren't here. That's why I tried to record as much as possible, because they don't know. I mean, my father also died when I was young, so we kind of had that bond. And they don't know their grandparents from that. You know, they don't know that, and they want to know.
This has been a great opportunity to be able to come here and see what we were able to see. I mean, we've heard stories and to actually see things. And
yeah, I've never actually seen the Grand Canyon before, so it's pretty impressive for me.
The last thing I'd like to encourage you to do is, if you're willing, a simple recorder, sit down with your dad and maybe capture that time. To talk with you about that, but he hasn't with his sons, and so maybe you would be the one to do that recording and then take it to them. However, if he's willing,
as much as we can,
that would be wonderful.
You're headed out there soon,
maybe out there on the 17th.
It's interesting, though, he has Alzheimer's to some degree at this point, or age related dementia. Mm-hmm. He probably remembers those days
better than
he does last Tuesday.
Well, judging from the number of times he's told me the Hawaiian
story,
you know, he does live in those days.
So
a
this
lot.
Would be the time to capture that. This would be the time to capture that, because he will lose those memories as well. So that if you
I know that you've done some recording, but it was about his stories flying an airplane.
And then in Japan.
Maybe I will just keep a recording going while we're there, because he talks constantly anyway, and he tells his stories, and we'll just...
And if you'd be willing to send that in to Kim, I mean, I don't know if we want to have him sign a deed of gift just to capture his reminiscence of that time, I don't know.
Related to the accident?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, we can take that. How do you feel about that?
That'd be fine, we just take one of the forms with us.
Okay.
Dad went back to Japan to fly in the Korean War. Mom didn't go with him, did he? Did she?
I don't.
Because you would have gone.
No, I didn't.
No, wait a minute. You were born after. No, you were born before Korea.
49?
49, yeah. Korea was 51. Okay, totally unrelated. I'm sorry.
Just checking his own memory there.
Yeah, I'm done.
This has been great for our family. Will we get a copy of this?
I could run back and make one for you right away while you're talking to
that
me.
That would be wonderful. Yeah. Because, I mean, these are things that they've talked about that I've not heard of this before.
Getting it all over the place at one time.
Yeah, I can do that.
We have two of these recorders, and so Dominic can talk on the other recorder, and Kim can run away with the memory card in here and learn it on a couple discs, maybe.
And Tom, I'm glad you could come in and at least at the end of here.
Well, I was really disappointed to miss the 06 event. So this was a pleasant surprise when I got the invitation about a month ago.
I guess we didn't even hear about the 06 event.
There was no outreach at the time to family?
Was there? There was to my family. So Mom and I got invitations.
So it might have gone to your parents.
Could have gone.
No, we never heard anything about it.
Yeah, I think until this dedication came, she hadn't sent us any.
I'm trying to remember exactly the initial contact, because it wouldn't have been by email. Since why would Helen have had my email address back then? It It must have been through the mail.
Okay.
I think they made a concerted effort to try and get addresses for this event, whereas I'm not positive about the last one.
I've been in the same house 15 years, which helps.
That does
helps
help.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so much has changed, too. Now they have emails and all that to mm-hmm. contact people. I mean, a lot has gotten easier.
The emails wouldn't have helped them.
It would have helped with email, because they are past
totally
against
that.
They're 92 and 3, and computers
although in
06, are not really there,
I think they actually had an email account.
They might have.
But
they're just kicking it.
They don't know how to use it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
This is great.
Thank you.
Tom,
so we need to get a form
you
for...
You too. Thank you very much.
For both of them.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much.
TWA
thank
was
you.
Your... Was
TWA.
Your...
So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I have them fill this out...
Almeda Evans.
That'd be great.
Just have them put their name
and
in there.
Name and signature.
Where's the TWA club by St. Louis?
Signature.
Going to
oh,
that's where they're
headquartered. Be great, thank you.
And
do
United
you
was
Kim's
going to
Chicago.
Come Chicago.
I think Steve may have gotten it, but if he didn't,
she contact information.
No, I don't.
Card.
She can put it on the back of this.
Okay.
I'll do that. And then in KC, she was going to connect with a flight to Oklahoma City.
No, she was probably going to take a train to Poto.
That's how I got up.
Poto is really teeny.
Yeah.
But the train goes right from Kansas City to Poto. Uh-huh. I've used it both ways.
So I'm just going to switch machines. And then we'll turn one off. Once the other one's going.
And how would you like...
I'd love to stay and listen to yours, but we need to...
We've got family. We've got to...
So you're going to be at the...
Yeah, we'll be at
the reception. Okay. Or the presentation. This is the one that was in 06. I actually have a DVD or CD of the 06 presentation, so I'm looking forward to seeing it live. It's a presentation of a historical event. It's about 1 hour.
Okay.
Okay.